1 Corinthians chapter 11. We celebrate communion once a month. We don't want it to become a trite ritual, but it's deeply meaningful. And we do this, the Bible tells us, in remembrance of Him. That's why we celebrate communion. The Bible calls it, and we refer to it with the word Eucharist. Thanks, my friend. The Eucharist. And the Eucharist literally means, thanks, Dan, a celebration. And celebration is, you know, it's not often the way we grew up thinking about communion. We grew up with it being so somber, and then even when we got serious about the Lord, we heard all the teachings about you better be right and not take communion if you're not right with God and you're not right with your neighbor, leave your gift at your altar and go. But what that does is, though it may be indeed true about the power of what God imparts, got it, thank you, buddy. What happens is it doesn't allow us the reality of what Jesus wants us to experience. He wants us, thank you, to experience a fresh impartation of His presence. And so what we urge is what we believe the Bible's intent is. That if there's a difficulty or a rift in a relationship with someone and you have tried to make it right, the Bible says, above all, do all you can to be at peace with all people. Do all you can. If there's something where they won't bring that restoration or allow restoration to come, then you have to commit it to the Lord in prayer and go on and take communion and keep being as tender-hearted before Him and as loving before Him as you can be. There's somebody in this room with whom you need things to be right with. You can take care of it prior to communion. We always pause for a couple of minutes. Don't look around. And then you can, if you look around, say, hey, Charlie's got a problem with. No, that's not what we do. But if there's a need to take care of it, go ahead and get it right. It's, hey, this is family. But if there's somebody not here that you know you need to make things right with, commit to your heart and to the Lord that you will take care of it at your first opportunity. Take communion, receive the impartation of His presence in life, and that gives you more strength to go on. There's something real that happens in communion. There's an impartation of His presence, so we go forth from this place to live ever more strongly for Him. How many want to live that way? Evermore for the Lord. That's what we want to do. Well, the scripture declares, beginning in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So clearly the Bible enjoins us to make things right to the best of our ability to do so. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not a member of this church, we have an open communion table here. What that means is, as long as you've surrendered your life to Jesus, He's your Lord and Savior, and you know that He lives in your heart by faith. If He doesn't, let this be the day you do that. But if He does, then enter into communion and celebrate with Him as we do these things in remembrance of Him. We'll pause for just a couple of moments in prayer, and then we'll celebrate the elements together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much for all that You've done for us. Last week we celebrated the day we call Resurrection Sunday, Easter. Thank You, Jesus, for being the Passover Lamb sacrificed for us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for being brutally beaten and bruised on our behalf, for dying for us, for being buried for us, taking our sins, sickness, sorrows, and punishment, and then for rising again. Thank You, Jesus, for all that you have done. Come on, can you say it out loud? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is more than tradition. This is you. This is what you've done. And we do this in remembrance of you. Let's all participate in the bread together, remembering his body broken for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, as we remember the fruit of the vine this morning, we remember the blood shed for us, your blood shed that ratifies the new covenant by your blood, the new testament, the testament you left and what you passed on to us as our inheritance because you shed your blood. By faith, we receive you. By faith, we believe you. By faith, we are yours. And Lord, this morning, we do this in remembrance of you. We receive healing, we receive commitment from you, and we give our commitment to you in Jesus' name. And they all said, let's take together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You are so good, so great. We lift you up, Lord, marvelous and merciful. Can you raise your hands and clap your hands to the Lord? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you're no longer on that cross, but that you've risen again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.